like to just remind us our purpose for being here each Lord's Day, amen? And that purpose that we've come from is to worship God in spirit and in truth. That ought to be my primary focus when I come here this morning, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, in worshiping God, there are five acts of worship. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 42, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. So there was four of those acts that they, when we assemble to worship God, we are here to hear from the Word of God, to be taught from the Word of God. We're also here to fellowship, that is to give back to the Lord a portion of what God has blessed us with. And then in breaking the bread, thank our brother for leading us. I thank all brothers for participating thus far in our communing with the Lord. Our minds, as he says, should go back and remember the suffering that Christ shared for us and his blood that he shared on that cross. And so we take of that body and that blood, and then we offer prayers to God. And then in verse number 47, Luke penned, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we know we praise God with the fruit of our lips, not with mechanical instruments. We praise God with the fruit of our lips. That's the only way the Bible teaches us, Hebrews 13, how we praise God. We offer to God praise for all God has done in our life. Amen? And then the Bible says, and they added to the church daily, such as should be saved. We want to say this morning, if you're visiting with us this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to become a member of the Lord's church. Amen? Yes. It's my responsibility as a preacher, the evangelist, to share with you what God has specifically said unto you to become a child of God. No one is a child of God by birth. Yeah, you have to be, Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Yeah. So become a child of God. You have to spiritually obey the Lord and become a child of God, and that's spiritually by obeying those things. It's my responsibility, again, I said, to share with you what God has said unto us. Amen? Amen. And so if you're with us this morning, you've been with us for the past few weeks, we are studying from 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And I just want to kind of bring us to what we've been studying so far so we be mindful of what have we studied previously. We've studied in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy to not become entangled in the pursuits of life, but to stay focused on the work of being a soldier. Amen? And that's 2 Timothy 2. And the verse is number 4. And then we also studied to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Therefore, God is able to supply your needs according to his riches in glory. And that's 2 Timothy 2 and 8. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the responsibility of the servant of Christ to study, to understand and obey the Word of God. Brother Michael just led us in a song, Trust and Obey. Right. So we studied 2 Timothy 2:15. We are to study the Word of God and then obey those things that we studied. His approval is only when we do what we've learned from the Word of God. Amen? And also we talked about how the child of God must not argue in an angry way. And that's in 2 Timothy 2:24, where Paul, 25, where Paul talked about the fact that the Christian must not strive. And the word strive, verse number 24, means whenever I argue with someone in an angry way, I am sinful at that time. Because he said, must not. Must not. There's nothing wrong with me having a disagreement, but when I argue with someone in an angry way, that's sin before God. Amen? And so on this morning, I want to look at the subject. We're continuing our 2 Timothy, and we move to chapter number 3. And we get our subject title, In the Last Days. Paul wrote to Timothy, perilous time shall come. In the last days, perilous time shall come. Okay, thank you. Now, the Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul wrote to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days, perilous time shall come. Well, what is the last day? Well, turn your Bibles, have you work your Bibles a little bit this morning. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So we want to find what is the last days and when did they start? Yeah, the last days. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter was telling them, this is what Joel wrote previously as a prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So Luke wrote that it shall come to pass in the last days. The last days, this is the last period of human history. There will be no more after this. So Paul told Timothy, in the last days, perilous time. Come. What did Paul mean by perilous? It is defined as hard to deal with and not easy to manage. Paul was telling Timothy that in the last days, it's going to be hard to deal with and not easy to manage. These dangerous times that the Apostle Paul is referring to are in the churches of Christ. Yeah. He's not talking about in the world. He's talking about in the church. This congregation in Acres Home is included. Yeah. There can be some hard things to deal with and not easy to manage. This is also one reason. Let me say this. God desires every congregation to be equipped or organized with elders, deacons, and evangelists. Yeah. Yeah. We got some stuff to deal with. And it's going to be some difficult stuff to deal with. That's why, even at Highland Heights, we need, and I preached about this in 1 Timothy, we need elders. We need deacons. Yeah. We need shepherds to watch over the flock. We need deacons to handle the work of the Lord physically. We need that in the Lord's church. Yeah, we all, Paul Peter even refers to us, we are sheep. And we need a shepherd. I need someone watching out for my soul. Yeah. Yeah, and as I think as someone explained to me is that the deacons are to build the fence physically, but it's the shepherd's responsibility to care for the sheep in the fence, and many times they get away. Yeah, we need shepherds here to go after them. go after my responsibility, advantage, is to preach the word of God. We need elders and deacons. Why? Because it's going to be hard to deal with. Yeah, you can't have one man to manage all that by himself. Yeah, so I'm appealing again to brothers. As we go through the word of God, that's why you stay with the word of God. Because in the word of God, again, when we study the word of God, it's for August 6, 2023. Even though it was written 2,000 years ago, it's applicable to right now today. But then why would the Church of Christ be in danger? Paul enumerates that. He say, for, this is the reason why. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Yeah. And so as I walk through these, I want each of us to look at these words as I define them, and what it allows me to do is to look at myself. I'm not looking at nobody else. I'm looking at myself and seeing, am I one that's causing danger to the church? All right. Paul talked about first, he said, men should be lovers of themselves. Selfishness is the root cause of many of our sins. Yeah, we become selfish. Paul said they become covetous. Covetous is loving money. Loving money. We're going to talk about that. Boasters. That's puffing up oneself in their talk. I'm talking like I'm all that in a bag of chips. Being proud, thinking they are above others. Whenever I think I'm better than someone else, that's pride.
There you go.
Yeah. Blasphemers, speaking evil, disobedient to parents. What does that mean? Unwilling to be persuaded and won't listen. Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy 21. Let you see something. Because we talked about it the last time I was up about the three different dispensations, the patriarchal, Hebrews 7 and 4, the Mosaic age, 1 Corinthians 10, and then we talk about the Christian age, which began in Acts chapter 2. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy 21, Deuteronomy 21. Because we lived in the Mosaic age, and we had children that wouldn't listen and can't be persuaded, do what they want to do. Know what God said to do to them. In Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, it can be a daughter too, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they had chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Yeah, we lived during that time. We probably come here, won't be no children here. Yeah, because after I had to talk to you, and Sister Stroud to talk to you, and you still won't listen. Yeah, take you out and say, elders, old men. Brother Tima, she won't obey. She won't? No, we didn't try. She come in when she want to. She do what she want to. Yeah, say what she want to say. We talk to her, she won't listen. Hold on, Buster, let me go get some men. Let us get some stones. Little Verlander action finna go on right now. Yeah. The Lord said back then, you stone her with stone. The reason you do this, let me help us with parenting and sometimes us grandparents. The reason sometimes you discipline one child is to put fear in the next child. But if you don't let, you let that first child get away, guess what? Yeah. That's what the Bible says. He said, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Yeah, so when I discipline one and one in the house, it's for everybody. Yeah, you want them hollering when you whoop them. So the other children be scared. I know when my mother used to discipline my child, I would run and hide. Yeah, because she would say sometimes, you next. You next. Yeah, so I be telling, I tell my old brother, man, y'all don't mess up. Don't mess up. I mean, back then, you know, we talk about this here. I'm saying to church here. Back then, I was raised by a single parent, mother. Yeah, and it was hard. Yeah, trying to raise three boys, and they all, we're going to talk about that next week, how what God says to try to bless us with, how the responsibility is not only just on the parent, it's also on the child. So you had the discipline, and I'm saying to the church here, it's hard for any parent to raise children by themselves. Yeah. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because it's difficult for the preacher to manage the congregation by himself. Amen. It's like being a single parent. Uh-huh. Yeah. The elders are the husband. Yeah. You need them. We need them to help manage this congregation. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah. So we talk about them. He talked about, again, let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. He said, He said they were not only that, they will be unthankful. Unthankful means showing no appreciation or thanks, or you got no gratitude. Unholy, showing a disregard for what is holy. Let me say this to parents. Parents stand as one in authority to the child. Now, if he or she won't obey the parents, how can we expect them to obey God or their teachers? You can't do nothing with them at home. How do you expect a teacher who cannot discipline them to make them mind? Yeah. If they won't listen to somebody who's right in front of them, how do you expect them to listen to God who they can't see? Paul said. He said, not only that, the reason that the church is in danger because you'll have people without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Paul said, you're going to find where parents don't have the natural affection for their children. I think we read recently how a woman did with her child. You'll find that parents don't have the natural affection that all parents should have for their children. But also, you'll find children that won't have a natural affection for their parents. Now, I said this before. How can a mother raise five kids and then when she get old, five kids can't take care of one mother? Something wrong with that picture.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, your mother raised all five of you all.
Right.
All of you. Went to school. Put clothes on your back. Now, when she's old and she's a senior, now she need help. We can't find no one to take her to the doctor, to go to the store, to do things for her. What's wrong with that? You don't have natural affection. Yeah. Yeah, remember when you go out there and get all that education, somebody had to sacrifice for you to get that education. And you need to give back. But Paul said, you're going to find that people will be without natural affection. He says truth breakers. Truth breakers are untrue to one's agreement. You say something that won't do it. False accusers, making false statements to hurt other people. Yeah, we'll do that too. We'll lie on people. Incontinent, that means without self-control in a moral sense. He says fierce being untamed and wild. Then he said despisers of those that are good. That means you have no love for those that are good. Sometimes in the church, you have people that hate on people all because they're good. Paul said traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Traitors mean to betray someone like Judas did with Jesus. He betrayed Jesus and sold him out. So you're going to have traitors in the church. You have those that are heady. Heady means not willing to do what other people want. You headstrong. You do what you want to do. High-minded. You lift it up with pride. We think we all that. Now watch what Paul, how Paul closes the characteristics. He said, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul closes the characteristics by showing that one will love pleasure more than God. And let me say this to all of us, and I'm talking to myself. Anytime I preach, I'm talking to myself. We can replace God with our sinful pleasures. Yeah. I know my brother told me today football season is going to get ready to start. Brothers. Yeah, football season is going to get ready to start. Yeah. Let me say this. Anything that's good can become a sin if you misuse it. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? If I miss an afternoon service because of a Texan football game, yeah, that becomes a sinful pleasure. Yeah. Sisters, if I'm doing something that I know I ought not be doing, when it's time to worship God, that becomes, Paul said, they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we talked about, when we dealt with this in 1 Timothy 5, where Paul talked about that widow woman. He said, that widow woman who was carnal-minded, she was dead while she lived. You can have those in the church come here every Sunday and still be spiritually dead. Yeah, we can love pleasure more than we love God. Yeah. And Paul said, these people having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, Paul said, from such, he said, turn away. Now, form of God is when I, on the outside, I look like, I come here on Sunday morning, I'm dressed up, I look like a Christian. Yeah, that's what Paul said. They have a form of God. They look like they're a Christian, you know. He said, but denying the power thereof. Some of us claim that we are Christians. However, we refuse to live as a Christian should. Yeah. Talk is cheap. Yeah. For some of us, Paul taught out the power of the Word of God has no influence on us. The only way I'm going to change is the Word of God has to influence my behavior. And Paul said, talking about them, he said, for of this sort are they, to my brothers now, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now let me help us with that. The word silly don't mean silly. In the Bible, in the text, when I studied that. Yeah. Let me say this. Sisters, be careful. I'm talking about our young sisters as well as our older sisters. Be careful of brothers in the church and otherwise who would take advantage of, and when I would, with the word silly in the text, when you study the word, it means to be little or to be small. And so when I looked at that, I looked at it being someone whose self-esteem is little. Someone's self-esteem is low. Someone's self-esteem is small. Because Paul said they lead away those women. And now, because of your low self-esteem, they put sins on you because of your desire. They tell you all kind of stuff. Yeah. You need to preach that in the church. Yeah, be careful, sisters. And understand this here. Brothers, look for sisters that are little in self-esteem. Yeah, because why? They want to take advantage of you. Yeah, because you go to a real sister, they're going to put you in your place. You said, what? You want to do what? Are you crazy? Yeah. While I'm walking across this, let me share this with us too. Because Paul talking about now relationships here that become sinful. And they led away because of their lusts. You know, you need money, you need this, and they find out you in need and you have those desires, and what they do is prey on you. Yeah. Let me say this to the church. There ought not to be any sexual relationships going on in the church between those that are not lawfully married according to the scriptures.
Amen.
Yeah, let me say that. Now, I'm not talking about what they do at the courthouse. I'm talking about according to the scriptures. Because sometimes you can be married and it ain't according to scripture. Yeah. Ought not be no relationship. How am I going to be going to heaven and I'm just willfully sinning? Paul says those type of people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes we have trouble getting there as a Christian. We learning. We talked about this when I did the last message. I thank again Brother Mike for singing that song before I got up. My responsibility as a Christian is to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah, go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Let me share that so we'll understand when Paul say ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is it? What are you saying, Paul? I just said it. Paul said, I wrote that when I wrote this letter. I wrote it. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study, show thyself approved unto God. He said, workman, that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way any of us become approved to God is when we apply what God has taught us. Yeah. The only way. So we can come here on Sunday morning, listen to a message, get out there, and we turn into that same person. That wild person. Paul talked about being fierce. That wild person. We're going to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. Yeah, that's Paul said, ever learning and never ever able to come to the knowledge of truth. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, turn there. I'll show you what Jesus said. Yeah, Paul only said what Christ said before. Jesus said in Matthew 7, in verse number 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Yeah, we come in and listen to all the mess we want. We can be ever learning, but if I'm not making application to what I'm being taught, then I do not have God's approval. That's what how I get God's approval is when I apply what I learn.
There you go.
Yeah. Some have been to church many years.
And we're still struggling with the same thing. And as I said before, some of that is because of selfishness. Some of us are just selfish. Yeah. Yeah. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm learning, but I'm not able to make application. Paul said, he identified two Old Testament characters. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. What are you saying, Paul? There may be those here in this congregation that will oppose leadership even when the leadership is proper, as they did Moses. And so notice what I said. When leadership is proper. When leadership is not proper, everybody have a right to question that. Amen, somebody. Yeah, when Brother Stroud is not doing what's right, as I've said before and I say again, you have a right. Yeah. To allow me to get it right. Yeah, but when we sit in little pockets and we do as Paul identified those people that withstood Moses. Yeah, because sometimes what Paul tells us in the text, he said, men of corrupt mind, we can lose our sense of right and wrong when our minds become corrupt. Yeah, yeah. When I'm morally wrong, you're speaking against things you ought not be speaking against. You want to put down stuff that you ought not be putting down. Why? Because sometimes we become selfish in our thinking. And Paul identifies that he wanted Timothy to understand you're going to have people in your congregation that's going to oppose you just like they did Moses.
Amen.
Just like they did Moses. So what's the answer as I close? What's the answer, Paul? He gave it. He said, but they, that group, shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. In other words, Paul said to Timothy, back then Moses made known about Jannes and Jambres, how they were. Yeah. The word folly means showing a lack of good judgment or foolishness. Sometimes even in the church, you got people that are just foolish in their behavior. Yeah, that's foolishness. Now sometimes someone says something to you, you say, girl, that's foolishness. How do you deal with it, Brother Stroud? Right there in the text. Paul said, you make known unto all men. Yeah, so when you do something wrong, yeah, you causing mess in the church, causing friction in the church.
All right.
Yeah. Out of love for what the Bible says. Let me teach this right quick. Matthew chapter 18. Yeah, somebody done me wrong, Brother Stroud. Somebody did me wrong. What the Bible teaches me to do? Yeah. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Yeah. The Lord says, in Matthew 18, 15, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to him. I'm sorry. I'm missing the verse. Let me slow down a minute. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him, that's what I missed, his fault between thee and him alone. Don't get on no cell phone. Don't text nobody. Because when you do that, you violated what the Lord say do. And if he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Go to brother, brother, let me talk to you about this. Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah, I hear you. I understand. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. But you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. Yeah, but I understand that. But you know you're wrong. Well, I don't care what.
Okay.
All right. Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, take thee with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. But so and so, I want to meet with you again. I got brother so and so and brother. You know, I brought them with me because I wanted to speak with you again on that matter. Okay. You know, I talked to you last time about it. You shared with me why you did what you did and how you just, you know, felt you want to do that. And I brought to your attention, that's wrong. You said, that's okay, but I'm going to steal. Okay, so now what we trying, I moved back and brothers talked to him a little bit. So they maybe can persuade him. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do it. Okay. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And the church may go, brother, you know you need to be down there. Man, I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to do that. The Bible says, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or publican. What are you going to start? You kick my? No, you don't do. You don't kick nobody. Everybody needs Jesus. But the Bible told us how we deal with him. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. Turn your Bibles there. How do you deal with that brother? Or you could be a sister too. Because sisters raise up too. Amen, somebody. I know nobody wants to say amen on the sister. That's okay. I'll say it. Yeah, you got sisters too.
Amen.
They want to try to run stuff. They won't listen to nobody. Yeah, but the Bible teaches us how do you deal with that, Brother Stroud? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 14. Right there in the Word of God. Right there. God tells us not only how to deal with it, but the attitude we ought to have. Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, his second letter. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. But if any man, that's generic, obey not our word by this epistle. Epistle simply means a letter. Because remember, as I said before, when Paul wrote a letter, it didn't have book, chapter, and verses. He just wrote a letter. Man added book, chapter, and verses so we can find it. One reason we can find it easy. He said, now, and if any man obey not our word by this letter, epistle, he said, note that man, mark him, and have no company with him, that he might be what? Yeah, so the purpose for not associating with him is to get him to see himself. That's the purpose. You know, sometimes when we see ourselves, we're ashamed of ourselves, we try to change. But the purpose of it is, the Bible says, that he might be ashamed. Now, watch the attitude here. And that's in verse 15. You count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a what? Yeah. So you don't hate nobody. You don't treat him like an enemy. But what I'm doing is I'm warning you as a brother or as a sister. Amen. That's the biblical way of dealing with matters when you have those that will come up. Because Paul said, you're going to have perilous times in the church. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? Here at the Highland Heights Church of Christ, we stop wrong from going further by using the word of God. Yeah, that's how you stop it. That's how you stop it. The person won't listen to the word of God, then Paul says, how you handle that person. Yeah. You don't look at him as he's not your enemy. That's still your brother. Yeah. Even in our biological relationship, when someone does wrong to us, they still your brother or your sister. You still love them. Yeah. You don't like the behavior, but you love the person. Understand, people behavior may be one way, but that's not the person. That's the behavior. But sometimes we're not careful. When a person does wrong, we look at them as being that. No, that's behavior. Yeah. Everybody got a soul. Amen? So, Paul, as I close, these are the spiritual times in which we live in. We need a congregation, as I said before, I preached it in 1 Timothy, that is fully organized. We need those brothers that want to assist in helping manage and deal with this congregation. Yeah. We need them. We need them. Because we want to go somewhere and we want to thank God for all that he's doing and what he can do. And I'll say this here. I just believe the Bible says, Peter said, for the eyes of God are over the righteous. I believe that if we do what is right here, God will bless us. God will bless us. But we got to do what's right. And when we have problems in the church, you have to deal with them. I have to deal with them. And deal with them speedily. Let me share that with you. I'm closing. Go to Ecclesiastes 8. Let me just show you what the Bible teaches me how to deal with it. Ecclesiastes, that's in the Old Testament or New Testament? Y'all help the preacher out. Old Testament? Okay. All right. Where can I find it? Anybody know where I find it? In the Old Testament. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 8. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Did I say Ephesians? I did say Ephesians? Well, y'all should have known there ain't no chapter 8 in Ephesians. Y'all said, hold up, Brother Stroud. You can't preach here no more. You done went to a text that's not in the text. If I said Ephesians chapter 8, that should have been some hands waving. Say, whoa, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Yeah, help me out, the preacher. I had an E on my mind. Yeah, sometimes I wake up and the cloud ain't clear. Amen, somebody. Yeah, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11. So I'm saying this to all brothers, so you know, Brother, why you came to me like this? Bible says it. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 8:11. He said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. So, you know, sentence, you got to pronounce judgment. Solomon said, because you saw something was evil, and because you didn't deal with it quickly, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, when wrong start being done in the church and you don't deal with it, it fuels the fire for people to do more wrong. Yeah. So my responsibility, when I see it, I'm coming to you. In love. In love. Sometimes you come to a person, you need to get the facts of the matter. Yeah, because sometimes you got to be careful when people start wanting to, you know, for people, bust out. Let me tell you about, wait a minute, time out. Have you gone to him first? No, I'm coming to you. Why are you coming to me? I didn't see it. You saw it. Sometimes we like to report stuff to the preacher. I don't work for the Houston Chronicle. Yeah, I don't work for USA Today. Don't be reporting stuff to me. However, if you go to him and you can't get no traction, then let me come in spiritually. But when you see something, you in love to go to that person. Why? Because we are our brother's keeper. Yeah. We want everybody to go to heaven. Amen? Want everybody to go to heaven. If you're here today, we want you to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible teaches how one, I said earlier, you must become a child of God. You must become a child of God. How does I become a child of God? Well, let's see what Jesus said. Yes. Jesus gave five acts or steps for one to become a child of God. Jesus, first we find out in 1 Timothy 2:5, Bible said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus. So the Bible says we have one mediator, one go-between, between God and man, and that's Jesus. And what Jesus did for us, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus gave his life for all of us. Yeah. What do you mean a ransom, Brother Stroud? Well, ransom is something paid for the release of someone from captivity. Christ gave up his life in an atonement for sin. It holds good for those that are obedient to the condition stated in the Bible in 1 John 2:2. Jesus became our propitiation. In other words, Jesus was standing right there with God, but Jesus was our attorney. And Jesus said, knew we was guilty of sin. And he told God the Father. He said, I'll die in their stead. I'll die in their stead. So Jesus died on the cross for the sins. And now we got to be obedient to the condition that he gave. What are the conditions, Brother Stroud? But Jesus first said in Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Yeah, so you got to hear the word of God. Keep it. Jesus answered and said, the second thing was do. He said, this is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he sent. So you have to secondly believe that Jesus Christ, that God sent Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah, you got to believe that, okay? So I got to hear the word. I got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ. What third thing? Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, you got to turn. Repentance began with me turning my mind. Turning my mind. Yeah, from the way I've been living. I want to turn now toward God. Okay, and then Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you want Jesus to confess you before God, you got to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right? And how I conclude it. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what you got to hear. You got to hear the gospel. The gospel is just three facts. Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again the third day. You have to believe the gospel. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you have to believe the gospel. Then you got to be water baptized to be saved. What being water baptized mean? That means I'll be added to the church. Now I am saved from my past sin. What's the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ ruled. Christ is the head of his church. No man run this congregation.
Amen.
No man. Christ is the head, and he gave instruction that we ought to follow.
Amen.
And then the Bible tells us which church, Brother Stroud? The Bible tells us, Paul wrote to the Romans, say, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So we know then that we have to just do what the Lord said. That's how one become a Christian, by obeying the word of God. So again, church, today's message was to warn us about behaviors that we can have that can be problematic in the church, and how we need all those working together, amen, to do that which is right. If there's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message, we're going to bid you to come as our brother lead us in a song of invitation. Thank you very much. Please stand.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. And And will you come, will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all.